Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A lot of people need some help with really planning out their wellness goals. We tend to plan out every aspect of our lives. So we are planning to go on a vacation next year. Or we're planning our financial goals. We want to buy a house next year. But we don't plan out our health and wellness goals. So I think that's big for us.
Hey, it's Monique, and welcome to episode 84 of the Brown Vegan Podcast, where I love to share strategies on how to start and keep going with the practical vegan lifestyle, sharing my experiences and bringing on guests to share theirs. I also like to sprinkle in some wellness and just vegan entrepreneurship and just business overall, because those are subjects that I love. So yeah, just make sure that you come hang out with me on social media. Let me know what you think of the show. I'm Brown Vegan everywhere, including YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So I hope all is well in your world. I'm over here sipping on some green juice because last night I ate like 4 or 5 cookies. So let me tell you what happened. Just for All, I think is the name of the brand. Yeah, Just is what his name for short, but Just for All, they came out with some vegan cookie dough. And I saw it in the grocery store yesterday morning, and I had to get it because that was the first time I've actually seen it, and I've heard great things about it. So I was like, let me try this. I'll, you know, go ahead and buy it and have it in the put it in the fridge, and we'll eat it over the weekend. Well, my kids saw it, so I ended up making it last night before, and it was like, it was kind of late too when I made it. It was like 9 o'clock last night when I made these cookies. And let me tell you, they are so good. They reminded me of the cookies in the tube. Remember those cookies in the tube that your mom made back in the day? It reminded me of those, the same exact taste. I'm telling you, they nailed it. They really did. I'm like, I'm dancing eating these cookies because I'm not really much of a baker. So the fact that I was able to see some cookies in the store that are just like the cookies that I grew up on, it just took me back. And they were just good. My kids crushed them. I was able to make a dozen out of one container. So that's the only thing. You can only get a dozen out of them. And it's $6.50. Yeah. So that's another thing. I'm kind of glad that it is $6.50 because that means I won't be buying them very often. So that's a good thing about it. But also knowing that I can just go to the store if I want some cookies, we having like movie night or whatever, I can make cookies and I don't have to worry about, you know, baking myself. So this is just one of the examples of why I'm so thankful that a lot of these brands are out, because they just make it so convenient for you. And unfortunately, these products aren't the cheapest though. And so I think that's why a lot of times people think veganism is expensive, but it really isn't that veganism is expensive. It's just when you buy like products like that, that can be expensive. But you know, buying like potatoes and spinach and carrots and broccoli and beans and rice, none of that stuff is expensive. That's very affordable. But it's just, you know, the specialty stuff, this is the junk food, the stuff that we want is usually kind of pricey. So yeah, I just wanted to, I guess, share that, you know, as something that's an option out there. If you are somebody, especially who is new to veganism and feel like you're going to be missing out, you can make it as familiar as possible for yourself. So yeah, I'll link to the cookies on the show notes for this episode if you want to check that out. But and find out where they are near to you. I was in Wegmans, which is, Wegmans, as far as I know, is like in New York, Virginia, Maryland. I don't know if it's in other parts of the country. I have a feeling it's not. But I'm sure like Whole Foods and some other places have it. So I'll make sure to link it and you can just check out their website and find out where you can find their products. But they also make the vegan mayo. So if you've probably seen that in the store, because I've seen that in like the most, you know, basic grocery stores. Just that brand overall is just doing big things. And I see why these, you know, Hellman's and some of the other companies are shook, you know, because once it really starts to penetrate into the mainstream, it's a wrap for the egg and the dairy industry, because they're showing how unnecessary it is to use eggs and dairy and how they can make it happen without those ingredients. So yeah, I just wanted to share that because it was something I came across. So on today's episode, I have Leticia on the show, and she's going to be sharing her vegan journey, of course. She's a certified holistic health coach, and I love our conversation because we talked about veganism and why this is not a lifestyle that a lot of us see ourselves in, especially as Black women. Some of the barriers in our lives that kind of prevent us from wanting to be vegan, so we talk about that, what we can do about it. We also dive into whether or not the animal rights conversation has a place in veganism, because I know from my own experience, just, you know, conversations with a lot of vegans that I know, a lot of us decided to become vegan for health reasons. And so I wanted to know whether or not it's a place for the animal rights. Is there even space in this conversation for that? And maybe there should be more education to get people to become vegan. We also chat about the divide among the vegan community and how sometimes the health vegans and the ethical vegans kind of go in on each other about the reasoning for starting this lifestyle and why it really doesn't even matter. I mean, as long as we're all here and we're doing it and we have good intentions and we're saving the planet, ourselves and animals, who cares, right? But I mean, that's a big issue within this community. Leticia also shares some tips on how to stay on track, which is super important. And also like getting really clear about why you're doing this in the first place, because that is a big way to stay on track with your vegan lifestyle. Finally, we chat about keeping your curves as a vegan, which is another concern, especially as Black women. We're like, okay, I want to make sure I don't thin out too much. I want to make sure that I can still keep some of these thighs if I want, some of this ass if I want, you know. You can get all of the show notes and everything we mentioned in this episode at brownvegan.com under episode 84. So yeah, without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right into the conversation with Leticia of peaceoffood.com.
The reason why I became vegan, I started noticing people around me getting sick. So my grandmother had diabetes. My mom had high blood pressure. I saw people getting cancer. And then I just started really wondering. It was kind of just like an epiphany came to me one time. And I just started wondering, like, why is this happening? And especially in the Black community, why are so many people sick? And I wanted to know what the connection was with food, like the food that we were eating. So I started doing my own research, just Googling stuff, side effects of different things, and that kind of sparked a thing in my head. I was like, well, maybe I need to stop eating the way I'm eating.
And what was that? How did that look?
I grew up eating any and everything. Like, my mother would love me because I would eat all the leftovers. So I grew up eating like soul food, fried food. Every fast food place was like my best friend, like Popeyes, McDonald's. And I'm surprised looking back that I wasn't like completely overweight or anything like that, because I would eat horribly. Literally after school, going to McDonald's and eating like 20 piece nuggets and getting like ice cream from there. Like, that was my dinner. And not even caring about vegetables and, like, you know, eating canned vegetables and stuff like that, but not really thinking about what I'm eating, just thinking about, this tastes good, and that's what you eat, and that's it. So I went into my wellness journey not even thinking about veganism, just thinking about, okay, I need to eat healthier, because it seems like this is why people are getting sick, all the fried food, fast food, convenience store foods. And it led me on this crazy little ride, basically, like from one thing to another. I thought, like, this sounds so crazy, but I literally thought, like, you know, when you think of where your food comes from, like a farm, I thought there was like a cute little red barn and like animals roaming free and, you know, just happy animals. Mm-hmm. And happy farmers, and that's where our food came from. But the more research I did, I realized that that was not the case. Like, the factory farms were insane with animal abuse and how it's affecting the environment. So I literally just didn't know any of this. I grew up in Boston, so I was a city girl, not really being on a farm and knowing where my food came from. So I was very naive to that fact. It was just unbelievable for me, like, and I was really in shock about, like, the things they're shooting animals up with, antibiotics and medications, because these animals are sick, but they're still feeding them to us. So I just started learning all of these things, and it led me to eliminating one thing at a time. So I didn't become vegan overnight. It was probably like a 6-month process. Mm-hmm. And just started eliminating things. I kept eating dairy. I kept eating fish. And then I started researching dairy. Then I started researching seafood and things like that. So it just led me down this whole path of information. Talking to different people about veganism, so people who are already vegan. So it was an interesting thing, and especially being a Black woman, it was hard because this was almost 13 years ago, so it wasn't just the norm, and it wasn't a trend back then, and there wasn't all these vegan companies and vegan food products and vegan restaurants. So it was really a challenge in the beginning, and I wanted to give up, like, every day.
Mm-hmm. So what kept you going then? Because the reason I want to know is because a lot of us say we want to be healthy, right? We're like, okay, mm-hmm. we want to combat, you know, lifestyle diseases. We don't want to have to worry about any of that. We want to make sure that we feel good, that we look good, that we're healthy, right? But at the same time, that usually isn't enough of a reason to stay vegan. So what kept you going during those times when you were second guessing it?
Honestly, what kept me going was, one, I started working at a raw vegan restaurant. So that was very helpful. So being around people who were mostly on the same path as me was helpful. There was barely anyone that looked like me, but it was still helpful. And two, I really just was, I don't want to say scared, but it really put a fire under me that I could possibly prevent any of these diseases that I saw happening. I could prevent that from happening to me. So I just kept that in my mind every time I wanted to give up, every time I felt like I didn't know what to cook, every time I felt like, oh, I just want a burger. Or I want to go to my favorite steak and cheese sub restaurant or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just kept, I kept that in the back of my head, like, no, I want to be healthy. And I don't want to suffer from any of these lifestyle-related diseases.
Yeah, and that accountability, I'm sure, really played a big part in the beginning. Being around so many people who were already doing it.
Right. It was helpful. But then on the other hand, I didn't feel huge support from people like directly around me. I felt like I was just the craziest person in the world, especially growing up the way that I did, eating just regular food.
So your family, you mean as far as them, you didn't feel like they related to you, but at work you did, but probably not in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, it was kind of like I was looked at as a little bit crazy.
Yeah, yeah, of course, I can relate to that.
You grew up eating this, like, you're not going to eat this now type thing, you know what I mean? So
yeah, sometimes I think, do you think that it's that can be the hardest part, is the social part of it?
Oh, definitely, and I still feel that today, and it's been so long.
Yeah.
Eating this way is second nature. I just recently went to a local, it was called a Black Food Truck Fridays in Charlotte, which is super cool because I didn't know there were so many Black food trucks around here. But there was literally nothing for me to eat. And I was just like, oh, cool. You know, I'll just walk around and I'll eat afterwards. So yeah. It is that type of thing where food is the center of
everything.
Most social gatherings.
It is.
So it is a challenge at times. It gets annoying sometimes because then I feel like other times people who do know you're vegan try to, I hate to say it like this, but it makes it sound like you have a disease or something. Like, oh, she's vegan. So, you know, what can you do for her? What can you help her with? And I'm just like, calm down. I can figure it out on my own, or you know what I mean?
Well, that's actually, I get that too, but that's actually mm-hmm. better than somebody like making you feel worse about it. Because I feel like
right.
a lot of times when you do it the way you just said it, it's like people are doing it because they want to make sure you're comfortable, you're good. They're just being a little overzealous about it. It's better than somebody teasing me because I don't want to be teased about it.
Right. That's true, too. It's just hard. I guess for me, I don't like to be singled out, and I don't like to make it feel like, oh, you have to accommodate me or, like, make a special thing for me because I feel bad in some ways.
Really? Girl, like, I love when they make accommodations. Like, thank you.
I know. I just feel like, oh, I don't want you to, like, have to do another dish or something like that because of me. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine because I've figured it out all these years.
Yeah. So do you typically eat before you go? And then how do you do it? Do you eat afterwards like you did with the food trucks? Like, how does that look?
Yeah, it really just depends on where I'm going, who I'm with and things like that. So if I'm going to a restaurant, 9 times out of 10, I can get a boring salad, you know? I think regular restaurants, and I'm saying regular in, like, quotation marks, are getting better mm-hmm. with having at least one vegan option that's not just french fries and salad. So I'm glad for that. So I don't just have to go to a vegan restaurant, especially if I'm with my boyfriend or I'm with my family or a group of people.
Yeah.
So I think chefs are starting to be more aware of, like, oh, I should accommodate a vegetarian, or at least, I mean, a vegetarian is more easy, obviously, but at least one vegan meal on the menu that's not a salad.
But you know what I notice it being, though? It's like a veggie burger now. That's the only thing I ever see now. I want something else. But yeah. I mean, the way I look at it, too, I'm sure you look at it the same way. It's just like, it's just one meal. I can eat later. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. Usually I'll have a snack in my purse. That's number one. And that's what I always tell people, you know, carry snacks with you, whether it's like a Laura bar or a piece of fruit or something. So you're prepared. But I think it's catching on enough where, depending on where you live, because I live in a city that's growing. It's not as big as Boston, where I came from, but it's growing, and there's more restaurants popping up, which I'm happy about. But overall, I cook at home.
Yeah, so you get what you need. Why do you think that Black folks don't want to go vegan? What do you think is holding us back, outside of the social issues that can come from, you know, us deciding to make this decision? It's such a small percentage of Black vegans, I feel like, overall, that when we decide to do it, our friends and family, like you said, they think we're crazy. So mm-hmm. are there any other reasons that you think that holds us back from starting this lifestyle and also doing it in a healthy way?
Yes. And that's a very, I think there's so many answers. One, I think it has to deal with a lot of lack of nutrition education. That was huge. And I know for myself and for a lot of clients that I've had, they just don't know. Sometimes I'll walk into like a workshop or I'll think about doing a live and I'm like, people already know this, so why am I sharing this information? But people really don't know some of these things that I know or that you may know. So I think it's lack of nutrition education. When I had nutrition classes in school, I don't remember what I learned except the food pyramid back in the day. And I don't know how that's changed now for children, but the lack of education about what you eat and how it affects your body is limited. And I think especially in public schools and especially in minority areas. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my thoughts about that. Another one is the socioeconomic issues with it. So class. If you are struggling to pay your rent or struggling to pay your bills, the last thing you're worrying about is eating kale or quinoa. You know what I mean? So that's another big thing. Or even if leaving away from like just the food and looking at like exercise and self-care, because self-care is such a huge thing now, are there playgrounds or green trails for you to walk on and get fresh air and things like that? Do you have a supermarket in your area? Are there farmers markets that set up in your neighborhood? Things like that. So that's another thing. And then another huge thing is food culture. If you grow up eating something, it's very nostalgic. It's very, it's it just relates to you so much. Like, what did your grandmother make for you when you were younger?
Yeah.
You
know
what
I mean? It's ingrained, absolutely.
Exactly, and it's so ingrained that people will just think it's normal and not even care if they have high blood pressure and they eat macaroni and cheese and fried chicken every day. I'm being very, I mean, that sounds very, you know, just talking as far as like soul food, that's what I'm basing it on. But soul food is heavy in bad fats and fried foods and animal products. So that's deeply connected to our culture. So it can be really hard to let foods like that go.
Yeah. Let's dive into the two main parts that I got from that. And that is the soul food, just the fact that we just, you know, when you said the grandmother thing, it reminded me of my grandmother used to always
make me
cabbage with bacon when I was a kid. She sort of reminded me so much of that when you said the grandmother part. And another thing too, as far as the lifestyle diseases, it just kind of reminds me of some conversations that I've had with family members, and they're like, well, as you get older, it's expected to have high cholesterol, high blood pressure. That is just a part of being older, but we know, you and I know, that that's not the case. But so the lack of education really is playing a part in why this continues to happen. But as far as the food thing, do you still get to enjoy a lot of the things that your mom, your grandmother made for you as a vegan? And how do you do that for yourself in a way that is a little healthier than the way we grew up eating it?
So, yes, I think it's with being creative, and then there being so many people out there now who are also creative and getting ideas from them, and cooking soul food in like a vegan way, veganizing everything is possible. So you don't have to. I think a lot of times people will think of vegan food as bland and boring, but now, I mean, I don't even think now. It's just about being creative and having an open mind, because, you know, when you think about how you season meat, you're putting herbs and spices onto your meats. You do that with your grains. You do that with your vegetables. You do that with, if you're eating faux meats and things like that, you can do that the same way you did it with your chicken and pork and beef. So just being creative and playing with recipes and things like that is a huge part of that. And so you don't have to lose that connection with your parents or with your grandparents, or with the foods that you grew up eating. Just getting in the kitchen and being creative.
Yeah, because I would have went vegan way before 2010, and I'm sure the case could be for you if I knew that I can make anything vegan that I want. Now, I know that there's probably way more options now than 13 years ago when you went vegan, like we talked about. But I think that I would have went vegan faster if I realized that I can still enjoy some of those flavors, the texture, and just all of the parts that remind me of growing up, if I knew that this was a possibility. And it kind of goes back to what you said about education, though, like the lack of education about, you know, nutrition, animal rights, all of that. Okay.
Right.
I'm going to ask you a question. And I know we did not plan to talk about this, but I'm just curious because you brought it up as far as like the animal rights and environmental. Do you think that more of us would go vegan if we had more education about that? Or does it have to be strictly health?
I think I would have eventually gone vegan if I was introduced to animal rights beforehand, before the health aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Because when I first started researching it, I didn't think of that. And that was another thing. That was another lack of education. Because like I said, I thought animals were roaming free and happy. And
yes.
Like, I really didn't. It was just something I never thought about. And the way animals are presented to, I guess, Western society is cats and dogs.
Yeah.
You know, we love cats and dogs, and that is it.
Yeah.
I never made the connection with animals being intelligent or any spiritual connection, but the more I went into it, that's how it developed for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I came to it with, okay, health, and then, oh my God, the animals are being like abused. I can't believe that. And then in my own mind, figuring out, okay, is there some type of karma related to how I'm eating animals? And Are we taking on the energy from these abused animals and things like that? So it just one question after another led me down, like I said, down these different my wellness journey. So I think with the Black community, animal activism isn't the main forefront. And I've even read this in the book Sista Vegan. When you're not represented in a group, it's hard, and especially with racism. And Dr. Breeze Harper talks about this so much, how there's racism within the animal activism community.
Absolutely.
And I can relate directly to this because I joined a group in Boston. I can't even remember the name, but I only went to a couple meetings, that's for sure.
I'm about to say, dang, put them on blast, girl.
I just didn't feel welcome. Yeah. I was looked at like I was crazy, but I just felt uncomfortable going to the meetings. Dealt directly with animal activism. And the divide within the vegan community makes me mad too sometimes when you have like, I hate to call them vegan Nazis where they're
mad. That's what they are. Call them what they are. Call them what they are.
Where they're upset with you because you did start for health reasons. Mm-hmm. So there's the divide where it's like, okay, the animal activism vegans and then the health vegans. So I'm like, well, all of us are helping somehow.
Yes,
we
absolutely.
Still stand it doesn't matter together.
How, right. It doesn't matter how you got here. We're all here, you know?
Right. And absolutely. Then, I mean, like I said, I started for health reasons, but then it developed into so much more. So I just think, you know, everyone's on their own path, whether you become vegan or not. And we should just respect each other and to make a better world. That sounds like kumbaya, but
it's true. It's true. Unfortunately, I had a similar experience as you did when you went to an animal activist group. I had a similar experience. Definitely didn't feel welcome. And I felt like I only went to two different meetings, but I did feel like animals were more important than people. And to me, I'm just like, listen, what we're not going to do is do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I decided to become vegan for animal rights reasons, but I definitely don't believe that animals are above people. Like, I just think it goes too far in so many ways. I never really feel, I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't feel connected to this community because you're not allowed to have different opinions about things. You just have to be, this is the way it is, and that's it. You know,
right.
So I don't like that about this community. So I just try to carve out my own little space on the world and don't even worry about what everybody else is doing kind of thing. Because
exactly.
It's just,
that's why I follow people who I connect with more, and especially that I'm seeing more Black women like
absolutely.
You, like the Soul Food Veganista. Shout out to Jamila.
Yeah, Jamila. What's up, boo? I just saw her last weekend.
Yeah. So just like people like that, that inspire me and like that who are on the same page as me, there's the positive, you know what I mean? So it's not just that negative. I don't pay no mind to that.
Right.
But the positive and really trying to make a healthier world, because a lot of people just don't realize how important it is. So
yeah, like I totally agree with that. But what do we do? Because I'm asking you because I don't know what to do still. What do we do to bring this more, make it more of a forefront issue for Black veganism as far as from an animal rights perspective that doesn't offend us as people of color? Because I understand why we get offended when we hear a lot of the language about animals.
Comparing it to slavery and stuff like when PETA and stuff use like lynching photos and stuff like that.
Right.
No.
I'm offended by that. But what I mean is as far as it like, because it's okay to care about more than one issue. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can care about racism, police brutality, women's rights, animals' rights, human mm-hmm. rights. I can care about all of that. We're allowed to do that. So what do you think we should do? I know this might be a loaded question, but what do you suggest? Because I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out myself.
I think we are on the right track. So you with your business and your podcast, just reaching out to different types of people that you interview and getting the word out. I think that's what we do. The education portion, whether you're doing workshops, whether you just tell a family member whether you are, doing things in your community, I think that part is what's going to do it. And mm-hmm. for me, not coming from a judgmental space and that, and then not coming from a preachy space.
So true.
That's, yeah, and relating to people. I think telling my story is going to help people more than like, hey, you need to eat kale and stop eating this.
Right.
So telling people that, hey, I've been in your shoes. I ate fried chicken and I ate Popeyes and I ate McDonald's and I ate Krispy Kreme donuts until I was in my 20s. So I know what you mean. Mm-hmm. I know how you're feeling when you want to give up. So just being that and having a platform, because back when I was starting, I wish I saw more people who look like me.
Yes. When you mentioned Sister Vegan, that book inspired, that's the book that made me go vegan, because I didn't realize that we were vegans. I didn't know. And I was a vegetarian at the time. And I actually read the book that I read, it made me, I went vegan for like a week after I read it, was Skinny Bitch. Remember that book?
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Read it though.
So I read that book and I didn't realize it was about veganism. I just read it and I was like, oh hell no. Like, what's going on here? And so I was a vegan for like a week. And then after that, I didn't know what to eat. I had a family. I was like, how am I going to do this? This is crazy. So I was a vegan by default because the book terrified me so much. Like, I was traumatized so much by that book that I literally lived on sunflower seeds and water for like a week because I was like,
oh my God,
what am I going to eat?
You want to know what I ate when I first became vegan?
Yes, tell me.
I literally sauteed spinach and mushrooms every day and white rice. That was my meals, because I was like, I don't know what to cook. I think this is what I cook. A little green, a little mushroom, and then rice. I think that's good.
Hey, saute it. I feel like we all started as sautés too. Like, what I decided to be. So I read that book and then I was a vegetarian after reading Skinny Bitch for 2 years. And then I read Sister Vegan and I was like, oh my gosh, like veganism, it spoke directly to me. And I was like, I can relate to this. There's other women who are black vegans. And this is pre-Instagram, all of that. So I'm thinking, yeah. And then I'm like you. I'm eating sautés because I didn't know what else to cook. So how did you get more?
I thought that was it.
Yes. Yeah, so how did you get more comfortable then in the kitchen?
So I, and this is what I tell people. You have to, if you're committed to it, you're going to find ways. So I looked up to see if there were cooking classes in my area. So I found a cooking class it was a vegetarian cooking class. So that was before I became vegan. I took that class and they taught you like, five different meals. And I was like, oh, wow, you can do like cool things. It was kind of fancy. So I was like, I can't do all this, but I'll try and, be more creative. I bought a couple cookbooks. I think Veganomicon was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I said, I worked at a raw vegan restaurant. I heard about them. They were hiring, and I was like, I don't know if I can get this job, but I'm going to try. And I started working there, and that gave me ideas. And I even became raw towards the beginning of my veganism, which is very extreme, but I did it. So it's about being disciplined and really wanting to do it. And that's what I tell people. And I think the number one thing is, I asked a question the other day on my Ask Me Anything on my stories. And I said, what is your like number one health and wellness struggle? And majority of the people that answered said consistency. And that comes down to how you're planning out your day. Are you meal planning? Are you shopping for the right things? Are you really committed to it? Because if you're not, then it's not going to work.
The reason why people aren't going to be consistent as far as meal planning and grocery shopping is because they're not really clear about why they're doing it long term. Because it's one thing to do a Daniel fast, and it's one thing to say, oh, I'm going to do a 10-day vegan challenge, but what happens after that? You have to dig a little deeper and determine what this will look like for you long term, because I think, that stops people from really committing.
And that's the thing, is that your actual wellness goal, or are you doing it just because it's the trend. I hate calling it a trend.
Yeah.
I'm happy people are doing it, but are you just doing it because you see people on your timeline doing it? Or do you really want to do it? Or do you just want to eat healthier? Mm. And that's fine. So it is about like the end goal. What is your end goal? Just doing it for a week? Just doing it for losing weight for a vacation? Doing it for a lifestyle change? So that's the thing. Like, people need to dig deep to see what their real intentions are. Because if you don't want to do it, you don't have to. You can just incorporate more healthy foods, more, leaving meat off your plate a couple times a week or things like that. So I think sometimes people do feel pressure because they see that, this person's doing it now. I'm going to do it. This celebrity's, Beyonce's doing it. Oh, I got to do it. Mm-hmm. So.
And I love how you're making it, how you're saying that people should, it's okay to just incorporate some changes, because I don't think we give ourselves credit for that.
I know.
You know, if you're drinking almond milk and last year you were drinking dairy milk, I mean, that's amazing. Like, give yourself some credit. It's some time. Because you said it took you 6 months to fully transition.
Right.
So
it was hard.
Yeah.
After that, I was probably miserable. If I can think back to, like, my first Thanksgivings and my first Christmases trying to go home, I was like, oh, man, let me just stay home.
Yeah. So outside of suggesting that people... just taking meat off their plate a few times a week to get started, what else, what other things do you suggest? And I feel like we talked about getting clear about your why you're doing it, and then the meat off your plate a few times a week. What else do you suggest as far as people getting started? What do you think they should do?
I think one of the best things to do is just crowding out. That's what it's called. So crowding out, like, the bad stuff with good stuff. So adding smoothies to your daily meal plan. Maybe fresh juices, trying your best to buy healthy snacks so you don't have the bad snacks to reach for at your home if you're the person who goes food shopping. So those are a couple of tips, but really just trying to have a plan. Maybe for the first week that you're trying to be healthy is having a smoothie for breakfast. You know, something simple like that. Or drinking more water, like literally throwing out all your juice, all your soda, and only drinking water with every meal or in between meals and things like that. So, like you said, most people are really hard on themselves, and you have to start small. Start with the small steps, and don't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah. I know you love smoothies. What's your favorite smoothie to drink? Because I feel like you drink them every day, do you?
I do. I try to, and when I don't have one, I'm like mad that I didn't.
Do you usually put vegetables in yours? Like, I feel like yours always look kind of fruity, though. Like,
so fruit. I'm going through a phase of fruity smoothies now. Mm-hmm. I went through a green smoothie phase, and now since, like, the beginning of spring, I've been having, like, a mango, strawberry, coconut water, almond butter smoothie, and I'll add like a date and some hemp seeds. But I need to start back on my green smoothies too, because I used to add like pineapple, banana, spinach, coconut water. But it just depends. I go through phases, and I'll play something else. I'll probably be sick of this one soon.
Well, that's good. You keep it simple though, and you just rotate when you need to. That's good.
Exactly. And another tip, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
This popped up into my mind is people need to know that they don't have to shop at these expensive stores. For example, Whole Foods. You can go to your local, I hate saying it, but if you're trying to save your money, go into local supermarkets like Walmart, like your whatever's in your neighborhood. I know in my neighborhood it's like Food Lion, Aldi's, Trader Joe's, Walmart. So it depends, obviously, what neighborhoods you live in and if there's actually a health food store, but you don't have to spend $1 million on your groceries.
Yeah.
You can go to these stores where, you know, they're not as expensive and still shop healthy.
So true. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I only feel like I go to Whole Foods to get specialty ingredients, like exactly. stuff I can't get. And then if you don't live near Whole Foods these days, you can get anything mailed to you. Like, you can get from Amazon or Thrive Market, you can have them send good groceries to you for the specialty ingredients that you can't get. Exactly. But other than that, yeah, you can just go to, like you said, Food Lion, Safeway is right by my house, a Safeway, right. Giant, yeah, so.
Especially in these neighborhoods where they're labeled as food deserts. Where it may just be the corner store and it may just be the fast food joint. Or you might have one supermarket that you can walk to. Because I think about these things of when I didn't have a car and I had to go food shopping. What about someone who's a mom and has a couple kids and doesn't have a car and there's no supermarket? You know what I mean? So yeah. I think of these things like maybe she does want to feed her family healthy foods, but she needs to walk to get her groceries and things like that. So I just have these things in my mind where it's like, you can still do it. I know it may be a little bit harder, but there are ways to do it. And hopefully people start thinking about the health of themselves and their families.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's the thing that is not talked about enough is the fact it's like if it's not accessible to you, it's easier and it's cheaper to eat the fast food place. That's what you're going to do. And so I think it's not even a lack of people not wanting to change. It's because it's what's available to them. So that's a perfect example of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's hard sometimes if you are in a neighborhood like that. My thing is, in Charlotte, I realized that there's no farmer's market in my neighborhood, in my direct area. Mm-hmm. So one of my goals is to figure out how to bring a farmer's market to this side of town.
Dope. Yeah.
That's at least one good thing, and just figuring out how to have healthy access, basically.
Yeah.
Just normal stuff.
Right.
To be able to walk to a farmer's market.
Shouldn't have to go out your way. Absolutely. Yeah. I kind of want to shift gears because...
Oh, yeah.
Because I see on your Instagram that you are able to maintain your curves, and I think that's another reason why a lot of us Black women, we're like, we want to make sure we can maintain our curves on this lifestyle. We don't want to thin away.
I know.
So what do you do? Is there anything actively that you do to maintain your curves, or is just genetics? Like, what's going on?
No, I think it's a combination, and that's what I always tell people. It really just depends on your body type, for one. And I'm a cyclist, so I'm on my bike a lot. And I do yoga, but I'm not an everyday yogi. So those are my two things that I do, cycling and yoga. Awesome. But honestly, this is just my body type.
Yeah, it's dope.
I know.
It's
Thank
dope.
You. You're welcome. I mean, I do eat, like, sometimes I'll eat bad and I'll eat junk food. But my weight has stayed this way overall. When I was a raw vegan, I did lose a lot of weight.
Oh, did you?
And I didn't like it. It wasn't me, mm-hmm. which sounds weird, but I didn't think it was right. I just think I wasn't eating right. I was just eating like a lot of like coconut, a lot of like flaxseed crackers. And
not enough variety, you think?
Yeah. That was the same thing. I didn't know what to make in some ways. But I think it really just depends on your body type. I'm going to keep saying that to people because I know with social media now, it's hard because every other picture or whatever, if you go on the Explore page, it's this celebrity looking like this or this person got this surgery to look like this. So it's always in our face to, you know, the beauty standard is now shifting to that body type, the big boobs, the small waist, and the big butt. So it keeps shifting, and I feel like a lot of women feel pressured to look that way.
Yes.
And if they don't, they think they aren't attractive. So I just keep telling people, you know, everyone is not going to look the same. If you're doing this exercise routine and eating this way, I'm not going to look how you look, and you're not going to look exactly how I look. And I just want to make sure people, especially women, know that it's okay to look different and know that it's okay. Maybe you're thin and you're vegan. Maybe you're a little bit bigger and you're vegan, or maybe you eat meat and you're super thin. So it really depends. It depends on your exercise. It depends on your genes. It depends on how many calories you're intaking. So there's all these different factors and there's all this pressure. And sometimes I even hate when people say it to me like, well, why do you have a butt and you're vegan?
What?
Like, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Or they'll come in my DM like, you can't be vegan. You must be sneaking like meat on the side.
Wow. Really? Really?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's the thing. We really do come in all shapes and sizes. We really do. We really,
exactly.
Really do.
So it's just.
That's why that's why I think people who don't necessarily fit the mold of what people think that vegans are supposed to look like should probably post more selfies. Like, I love, you know who I love? Eden Jax, who was actually on the show probably been about a month now that she was on the show. And she always calls herself a fat vegan because she does not look like a vegan, a definition of what people think a vegan is supposed to look like. And so that's why I think and I say we because I don't look like what a vegan's supposed to look like either. I should post more selfies.
We're supposed to look like what we look like. Oh, and if you're like morbidly obese or something like that, that's different if it's affecting your health, or if you're super skinny and you're using masking like a eating disorder with veganism, that's different. And that's not what I'm talking about. So, you know, it just depends. There's all these extremes. But if your body is how your body is, like my body's been like this for a long time, that's just my genes. So that's why I tell people, and hopefully people don't focus so much on that part and focus more on like the health and the animal activism and the environment. And hopefully we can move on from that.
Yes, 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 yes. And we just contribute to the world in a bigger way.
Yeah,
than exactly. Ourselves. Absolutely. So before we wrap up, tell us about your 30-day program. First, I want you to tell us about your 30-day program, and then tell us how we can follow you on social media and all of that good stuff.
Of course. So I have a new 30-day program called How to Live a Healthy Vegan Stress-Free Life.
Ooh, I love that.
And this program is all about self-care and cooking for yourself and exercise and just overall holistic living. It doesn't just focus on the food part because there's more to life than that. And I tell people, you know, you could have the perfect vegan diet and your life is crumbling around you. It's a big part because, you know, people will come to me just about their diet and I'm like, well, how's the rest of your life going? You know? Yes. So this program is about the mind, body, and soul. It touches a little bit on each every week. There is a 60-page ebook with worksheets and exercises for you to do to figure out your wellness goals and then how to make those wellness goals come true. Because like you said, people will say they want to become vegan without a plan. And this program is all about how are you planning your wellness goals. So I talk a little bit about goal setting. I touch upon veganism, but you don't have, if that's not your end goal, this program would still work perfectly fine for you. I go over how to do vision boards and how to come up with your own affirmations and journaling and how that works for you and coming up with your own exercise routine. So this is going to touch upon a little bit of everything in your life. Because it's not just one aspect. And you can find me at peaceoffood.com. I am at Peace of Food on Instagram, Peace of Food on Facebook and Twitter. So that is how you can contact me.
Thank you so much, Leticia, for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Monique. I appreciate it.
I hope this episode was helpful. Come over to my Instagram or Facebook page at Brown Vegan and let me know your thoughts. Also, be sure to rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes to make it easy for other people to find us. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it, and I will talk to you next week.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.